Amen. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now, this is the second Sunday of Easter, and last Sunday we talked about what Jesus' resurrection means for us, and we saw that his resurrection proves that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, that every word Jesus ever spoke was true, that the devil is defeated, that we are the curse is broken of death, that we are saved through faith, and we have a kingdom prepared for us that's coming very soon on the clouds of heaven with our Savior, a kingdom prepared for us from the foundation of the world. And so last week we looked at what Jesus' resurrection has done for us to save us outside of us. Today what I'd like to look with you at is what Jesus' resurrection has done inside of us. Are you a changed person? Has God done wondrous things and marvelous works inside of you already through his resurrection? I think sometimes we can get discouraged and look around at the world and say, how am I really so different from everybody else? I go to the store, I have a favorite football team, I raise kids just like everybody else. How has Jesus' resurrection made me different? How am I changed? Well, today I'd like to look with you at how Jesus' resurrection at this very day and instant has done a marvelous miracle inside of you and what it does and means inside of us. And so what I'd like to do is compare an unbeliever to a believer over on this side, these two pictures here, and we'll take a look. And first of all, we need to understand that Jesus' resurrection changes us on the inside powerfully, marvelously, when we come to faith in Christ, when God saves us by grace, and when we're baptized into his name. Before that, as an unbeliever, let's listen to what God says of unbelievers and their state. I'll turn to Psalm 135 here. We read, "The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Nor is there any breath in their mouths, the idols. Like them be those who make them, yea, everyone who trusts in them." So if you're looking at a person here, what do you got here on an unbeliever? They don't see, they don't hear, they don't walk, they don't do anything. They're just like the idols, false gods that they worship. But of an unbeliever, but of a believer, when you come to Jesus Christ and you are saved by God's grace in baptism, do you understand that you are actually already resurrected inside, in the inner man, in the spirit, in the soul? Let's take a look at that language in Romans chapter 6, by the way. You see if you can pick out in baptism resurrection language, okay? You with me? Let's take a look here. It says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we'll certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." Is there resurrection language in baptism? Yes, right? Come on. It's buried, raised. Baptism is a death and a resurrection inside of us. Our old self crucified, the new man is born. How about in by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, the moment we believe? Ephesians chapter 2, "And you were dead." Say dead.
Dead.
"Through the trespasses and sins you once walked. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up and made us sit with Christ in the heavenly places. By grace you've been saved." And so, is there a resurrection already occurred inside of you when you believe in Christ and you're baptized into him? The Bible says absolutely. There's a huge difference between the unbeliever and the believer. And so let's take a look at some of the differences between these two. Let's take a look comparing these two pictures. Let's look at Luke chapter 10 to start out. Jesus says, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father. No one knows who the Father is except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then turning to his disciples, he said privately, "Blessed are your eyes, for which see what you see. For I tell you, many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it." Is there a difference in your eyes? Blessed are your eyes, for they do what? Let's put it like this. Okay, so are your eyes open? No one can see who the Father is except the Son, or no one can know the Father or the Son unless it's revealed to us. And so our eyes have been opened. Are your eyes resurrected? Are they raised? Are they alive? Yes. How about an unbeliever's eyes? In the Romans chapter 3 says, their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. The way of peace they do not know. And there is no fear of God before their eyes. Right? So an unbeliever does not see Jesus Christ as the Savior, does not see the Father by faith. And their eyes are actually, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in their case, the god of this world, devil, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the likeness of God. So already there's a big difference between these two. Amen? Your eyes are raised and alive to see. So touch your eyes right now and say, those are alive. They're resurrected already in the inner man to see Jesus Christ. And in fact, what's the outcome of that? Jesus says in John 6, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day." So the outcome of your resurrected eyes, seeing Jesus by faith, is that you're going to live forever. That's a beautiful work of God's grace. And in fact, you also see what? The path before you. You know, the unbeliever stumbles over the things in the world, for they are walking in night in the darkness, Jesus says, "But I'm the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness." You see the path, you also see your home and your destiny. Remember that verse, "What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart of man conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him? God has revealed to us by the Spirit." Can you see home? Can you see it glimmering there? We're seeing right now through them through a mirror dimly, but we're then going to see it face to face. But even now, your eyes already say, "I see my homeland, and I see the way there. It's Jesus Christ." And so we're walking in the light, and we can rejoice in these things, that our eyes are raised. And at the end of our lives, when we have last closed these earthly eyes to death, right, and to the glory of heaven, we're going to be raised. We can say with Simeon, "These eyes of, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. For these eyes of mine have seen thy salvation, which you prepared in the presence of all peoples." And so your eyes are raised. Once again, praise be to God. Let's rejoice. It's alive. How about your ears? Is that also something? Jesus says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Do you hear the words of God? All right. Do unbelievers hear the words of God? No. Jesus says in Matthew 13, "For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are heavy of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn for me to heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." What do we hear of an unbeliever? No ears, right? What do we have over here? I'll try to draw this. I know my drawing's not the best. But your ears, I don't want it to look like Spock there. I mean, come on. But look, your ears are alive, because they hear the words of God and believe it. Jesus says in John chapter 10, he says, "I'm the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and I call them out by name. A stranger they'll not follow, for they don't know the voice of strangers." And Jesus says to the Jews, "You're of your father, the devil." He says, "You do what you've heard from your father." You're right here. "From your father, he's a liar and the father of lies. He who is of God hears the words of God." The reason you don't hear them, Jesus says, is because you're not of God. They have no ears to hear it. They're hearing their father's voice, that is the evil one, and so they follow after lies. Think of all the ways in which you as a Christian are different. You know, if I mentioned to you, all roads lead to heaven and all religions are the same, what would you say? An unbeliever would say, that sounds great, but that's a lie. What do you hear because you know the word of God? Your ears are open. You say, no, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Abortion, it's a woman's choice. That's fine. No, we're here to save lives and we're to protect all life. Or go ahead and live in the lusts of your flesh and indulge in every woman you ever see. No, sex is for marriage. It's a gift of God to be enjoyed within that context. And, you know, we're saved by works. No, we're saved by grace alone through faith in Christ. And so we can spot a lie with our ears very quickly because guess what? They're resurrected. Touch your ears. All right? Are your ears raised, resurrected in baptism and faith to hear the words amen? So you're a good sight different already from that. How about your mouths, friends? Touch your mouth and your lips. All right, is your mouth resurrected? Isaiah said in Isaiah 6, when he saw the Lord, he said, woe to me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, etc. And an angel, a seraphim, goes and takes a tong and takes a coal from the altar, and he comes over and touches his lips, and he says, your sins are forgiven. Then God says, who shall we send? And Isaiah jumps up and speaks, here I am, send me. Why? Because something was changed, right? His unclean lips were made clean to speak the words of God. Do your lips speak the words of God? Do you speak, Jesus is Lord? Do you know that in the Bible it says in Corinthians that no one ever speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed? But if you say, Jesus is Lord, you say it by the Holy Spirit. Are your lips raised? Are they alive? Touch your lips. Touch your mouth. That is a big change in you. See if I can draw this. Here, I'll just make a smile. That's the best. And these guys, their lips are not open. Their lips are sealed to the praises of God. What were our lips created for in the first place? To praise Jesus Christ. To give glory to God. To speak love and good things to one another. Out of their mouths come black arrows. Out of our mouths, more and more are coming white arrows, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man out of the good treasure brings forth good. The evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. Big difference. Big difference between these two. And what's the outcome of a raised lip? Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth, and lips, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And what do our lips do? Jesus is Lord. God raised him from the dead. He's my Savior. And by the fruit of your lips, you're saved. That is, by the faith in your heart coming out of your lips. And so that's a wonderful thing. Your lips, your mouth, your tongue are resurrected. They're different from the rest of the world. How about, and you'll never believe I was going to say this morning, how about your nose? Did you wake up this morning and say, I'm going to come to church and hear Pastor Greg say, your nose is resurrected? Well, your nose is resurrected. How about this? They got no nose here. What does it say in 2 Corinthians? It says, Christ always leads us in triumph, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one we're a fragrance from death to death, and to the other we're a fragrance from life to life. Is your nose resurrected? Touch your nose. Well, guess what? And I met a woman in St. Thomas, and this happens all over, but I'll just use this example. She was from a different race, a different gender, a different social background, raised in a different part of the world, but I met her in a Christian bookstore. We started sharing. We were total strangers. I shared Jesus, she shared Jesus, we both knew him, and we smelled like roses to each other. It's like we'd always known each other, like she was my sister, like I'd grown up with her. And though she was so different, we smelled the aroma of life to each other, because our noses, spiritually, have been raised. But then, like on the boat sometimes, I meet unbelievers, and they like me generally, but then when I start speaking about Jesus Christ and preaching to them a little bit, You can see them shut off, just turn off the valve because they're like, that's a stench from death to death. I don't like to hear this, Jesus. And so though they may have a good time on the trip, see, their noses are not awake to smelling Jesus and the fragrances of the flowers of heaven and the kingdom to come. Yours are. We can smell like a rose to each other through, that is, faith in Jesus Christ is pleasant. How about another one? Yes, your noses are resurrected today. Touch that. How about your hands? God says of the unbelievers, Psalm 58, your hands deal out violence on the earth. But to the saintly woman, in Proverbs 31, so there's nothing here. In Proverbs 31, it says, she reaches out her hands to the poor, her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. And so that's a pretty pathetic hand, but your hand is really great. But just think, touch your hands for a second. Are your hands resurrected internally, that is, in your inner person, to reach out your hands to the poor? Our hands were created for kindness and to help our fellow man and to share love and tenderness. And that's what our hands have been raised to do. How about your feet? Are your feet changed? Woohoo! Yes, your feet. Well, an unbeliever, once again, Romans chapter 3, it says, their feet are swift to shed blood, and their paths are ruin and misery. The way of peace they do not know. How about you? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news, right? Are your feet raised to walk in the ways of Jesus Christ? What are your feet designed to do? To walk in the light of the Lord, to walk in the paths of life. I love that line in Psalm 16. It says, thou dost show me the path of life. In thy presence there is fullness of joy. In thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And Jesus says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness and stumble, but will have the light of life, and you won't stumble. Think of how unbelievers' paths are filled with ruin and misery. Oh, I'm going to live in all the lust of my flesh and the passions, and they go and stumble in the darkness and go astray. But in a believer walking by the light of the word, our steps are made sure. Sorry. Our steps are made sure. I almost fell over there. That's why we got to be careful to walk in the light of the Lord. Your feet, friends, are resurrected as well. And how about, I just won't get into this, but your knees, their knees will not bow to Jesus. Our knees do bow to Jesus. Even the hairs of your head are all numbered, says Jesus. Not a hair of them will perish. Theirs will. And of course, our minds. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. Do you have the mind, a new mind? Daily we're being renewed in knowledge after the image of our Creator. You're thinking God's thoughts after Him. Your thoughts are now in agreement with the truth. And as you learn the Word, they're more and more in agreement with the truth and thinking God's thoughts after Him. But of the unbelievers, they're darkened in their understanding, says God. In Ephesians, they're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. One more. How about your heart? Is your heart resurrected in your inner man? Well, let's look in Ezekiel chapter 36 here. It says, God prophesied, a new heart I'll give to you, and a new spirit I'll put within you. And I'll take out of your flesh the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. What's in an unbeliever's heart? Stone. What's in a believer's heart? I'll give you a new heart, a heart of flesh that's alive. Say alive. Alive. Touch your heart. Is your inner heart resurrected in Jesus Christ? To know God, to love God, to love one another, to want to lay down your life and love for your brothers and sisters in Jesus, to walk in God's ways. That is a resurrected heart. Guess what? This heart is going to be filled with ultimately angst and anger and depression and defeat over this heart that God gives you is a heart of a more than conqueror, of victory, of hope and everlasting life, of every good blessing and joy. For it's written in Isaiah 29, the meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. And even our bodies themselves, it is written. No, our spirits are raised already, but of our bodies they're not yet raised. But on the last day, Romans 8, verse 10, if the Spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit, which dwells within you. They don't have the Holy Spirit, their bodies will be raised to corruption. We do have the Holy Spirit in us. God, who raised Jesus, will raise our bodies as well as our spirits, which were already raised through faith and in baptism. And so we already have the first fruits inside of us changed, but we are going to be transformed at the great day of the Lord, raised and glorious. And we are shining and bright and beautiful, full of the joy of the Lord. Let me then conclude with these words. The big difference between the unbeliever and the believers, the difference between death and life, between the tomb and freedom in Jesus Christ. And of the unbeliever, they have eyes but do not see, ears but do not hear, mouths but do not speak, feet that do not walk in the way. But you have eyes and ears and nose and a mouth and hands and feet and a mind and a heart in Jesus Christ to walk in the light of life. And therefore, we conclude with these words from Isaiah 35. God says, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with a recompense of God. He'll come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame man shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing for joy. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and all sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Thanks be to God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what he does outside of us and what he does inside of us and what he'll do to raise our bodies at the last day. Amen.